boxes on the hillside.
Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 25-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So existing home sales are rising or falling? We're talking about existing home sales.
They are rising. According to U.S. existing home sales reports, they jumped in March by actually the highest annual rate in 18 months. Mm-hmm. So this is good news. And I think this would be higher, but we have a lack of homes on the market.
Still that inventory problem.
So yes, inventory is definitely an issue for us. And you know, the Midwest was the region in the country that led to this highest expansion in sales.
Mm-hmm. Well, they also, it says in your notes here that the Midwest had the highest amount of inventory increase as well.
Right. And, you know, with the more increase of inventory, you have more property to sell. We have a pent-up demand with buyers, I know, in my particular region. So I know that there would be more transactions if we had more inventory. We are very much in a seller's market right now.
Yeah. How much of these transactions are still cash these days?
You know, they're reporting that the transactions that are all cash are about 24%. That's down from 26%. I know in my marketplace, we're in the 50% range.
Oh, okay. Really? That much? 50%?
Believe it or not, it's really high in our market. And, you know, we're also, you know, we're not in the Midwest, so we do have a lot of foreign buyers.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be cash.
Mm-hmm.
Vacation homes, they tend to be cash. Second homes, they tend to be cash. So that's why we have a higher percentage of cash transactions.
You know, you think that with the dollar having appreciated so much against foreign currencies, that it is, of course, now more expensive for someone outside of the country to come and buy real estate. But you're not seeing any weakening in that?
You know, I don't have the numbers on the international buyers. We still have a decent international buying market.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a good time for some of the international buyers to sell if they're looking to sell, especially like those coming from Europe because of the differential between the euro and the dollar.
Sure, they can get U.S. dollars and convert them into more euros, and it's a beautiful thing for them. So they're getting
Absolutely, and we need more inventory. So if they want to sell their home, now's a good time.
Call Terry Story.
Call Terry Story.
What about foreclosures? What about distress sales? Are we still seeing that as a large portion of...
You know, they represented about 10% of our sales in March,
mm-hmm.
which is down from 11% in February and 14% from a year ago. So we are seeing the distress sales diminish, which this is just a sign that the market is really healthy. You know, we like to see these numbers come down. We'd like to see no one be in a distressed sales situation.
Absolutely.
But 10%, that's really nice because I don't remember what our peak was, but it was way up there.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was more than 50%. I don't know if that was actually the case, but it sure felt like it back 2006, 2007.
Well, you and I have been doing this segment now for many, many years, and we were right in the thick of that downturn. And we talked about that often during that time about, you know, how many foreclosures there were and how many were basically stuck in the court system, trying to move through the court system. A lot of that, I suppose, is gone now. And,
we're not seeing a lot of the new foreclosures or short sales per se, but interestingly enough, our days on market is really down. In the month of March, it was 52 days compared to February, which was 62 days.
Wow. That's a big jump, isn't it?
Well, and I know that there's winter tossed into there, but 52 days on the market, that's less than 60 days. That's pretty quick. If the home is priced right, I can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah.
If the home is priced right.
Well, we talk about that all the time, about the fallacy of pricing your house out of the market in the hopes of negotiating. We spoke about that recently.
Right.
Price your house right. Price it to sell. You're competing against others. And don't play the game of trying to, you know, price it too high because people might, they might pass you by. You may not even show up in the MLP system when they put a price range in.
Right.
You may be above that price range. Now, these individuals who have had troubles with foreclosures, are they starting to come back in the market? Is that starting to ease up now, boosting demand?
Absolutely. And this is a beautiful thing. This is why I think the demand for housing is going to remain strong for the next several years. Because remember, there's a large group of people. I think there's 9.3 million homeowners that went underwater in foreclosures or deed in lieu of foreclosures or short sales between 2006 and 2014. Well, you know, these folks, once they've got their credit restored and some time has passed, they're able to come back into the marketplace. They're actually anticipating 1.5 million are likely to become eligible during the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a strong additional source of buyers that's going to put demand on the housing market.
You know, I think that goes right up against this idea that millennials are not really out there buying homes. Even though rental prices are continuing to rise, millennials, because they're delaying their household formation, they're getting married later, their families later, there really isn't this drive for them to buy houses. You agree with that?
It's very much true. They're finding, you know, well, they watch their parents go through the ugliness
yeah.
of short sales and foreclosures, and a lot of them are just holding back. They're finding they would rather travel or do something different with their money. And a lot of them don't want long-term commitments. We've, you know, talked about that before, about marriage and stuff. That also, they're in long-term contracts with their student loans, their
yeah.
cellular phones. So they're not eager to jump in until they're more stable and financially sound and looking to, you know, potentially start a family. That's when we're starting to see, for the most part, a large number of them look to begin purchasing a home.
You know, I have a message for millennials because, in a way, the time coming up has been a pretty rough one. The stock market has had two major collapses in the last 10, 12, so, and 15 years. The real estate market has boomed and busted. And I think many of them are feeling, you know, heck, this whole game is rigged against me. This is just not a place for me to want to commit any money to. And it's a shame because had you come up in maybe a decade before that, you'd have a completely separate point of view. So it's up to you, Mr. and Miss Millennial, to get educated about this stuff and read and get yourself out of this feeling that the system is working against you.
And you know, we've also proven time and time again that those that are homeowners have a higher net worth.
Of course.
So you don't want to stay in the cycle of renting. And we also know that the cost of renting is proving to be a lot higher than
yeah.
it is to purchase
yeah,
right now.
Exactly. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. Of course, this is Terry's Story as we get together every single week with our Real Estate Roundup segment. And Terry has been actively in the business for 25 years, and she can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.